about verse 9, and it says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to come to you and just tell you how thankful we are just to be able to live in this country and just to be able to assemble here our service together and without persecution, dear Lord, without fear of anybody coming in and stopping the service because it's illegal. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you allowed me to be born in the U.S. and all the freedoms and all the liberties that you've given us. And Lord, I just want to thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you that salvation is a free gift. Lord, thank you that your grace is always sufficient. And Lord, I pray now that you might be on this service. God, I pray that you might be on the preacher. Lord, I pray that you'd use me. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the right spirit to preach in, the right attitude. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the illustrations and bring things to my remembrance that I may have forgotten. And God, I pray that you would be with the congregation of people and open up their ears and their hearts and their minds. And Lord, I pray that we could remove any kind of obstacle or distraction that might turn our hearts and our ears away from you. And Lord, I pray ultimately that you might get the preeminence and the praise, but also be pleased with what's going to be said and done and preached here. Lord, and I pray that you'd give me as well as these people some strength to do something with it, Lord. And God, we give you all the glory that you're worthy of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now here in the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1, we see the charge given by God Almighty to Joshua. Now, Joshua is an interesting character as he leads Israel over Jordan, and he leads them into the promised land, which Moses wasn't able to do. Now, what we're going to be looking at is just the title of Be Courageous. Be Courageous. It's mentioned 3 times in the verses here. And you say, well, what's that got to do with me today? Well, it's interesting because you think about it, Joshua has never been told, right here in history, historically, Joshua has never been told to be courageous. He's never been told to have courage. He's never been told to suck it up. It's going to be all right. I'll never fail you. He's never been told to just embrace himself, to do the Lord's bidden. He's never been told any of those things. When Moses was up on the mountaintop and Joshua was down there leading the battle and Aaron and Hur were up there holding Moses' hands up, Joshua never had to be told to be courageous and to keep fighting. While people were falling left and right, walking through the wilderness, and people he grew up with and people he saw and people he went over Jordan with, never did he have to be told to be courageous. And it's an interesting thing now in the first book of Joshua, as Joshua starts to transverse, if you will, over the river Jordan, that now God Almighty not only has to tell him once to be courageous, but has to tell him 3 times. And we're going to look at 3 things this morning. We're going to look at when did Joshua need courage, how Joshua needed courage, and why Joshua needed courage. And it's amazing how it'll all be applicable and practical to us and where we're at and every day. It might not be so evident right now today. Maybe the Lord will bring it back to remembrance as you obtain some of these positions that Joshua has gotten. But look in verse 1 of chapter 1, we'll see the when Joshua needed courage. It says in verse 1, chapter 1, now after the death of Moses. Now Joshua needed to have courage after his mentor, if you will, after the man that Joshua had followed for so long, had been near and dear to. Now this man is dead and he's gone over and he's no longer with him. The man that was instructing Joshua all those years of, you go to fight. Boy, you go down there and you fight the battle, I'll be up here praying for you. That man's gone. The man that Joshua ministered to, look in the end of verse 1, Moses' minister. That's who Joshua was. The man that helped Joshua, that led Joshua, the man that Joshua ministered to, he was there with. He went up on Mount Sinai with him. He went up there to be with him, to help him, to encourage him, to minister to him. Now that man has gone on ahead of him. You know, the interesting thing is Joshua helped bury him. Joshua helped lead him to rest. A man he had held, I'm assuming, in high esteem. He saw him do great things. He was there when he saw Moses go up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And now that man's not there. You know what the interesting thing is? Look in verse 2. The first few verses, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's got to reiterate the fact to Joshua. Joshua's Moses is dead. I know that. No, son. Moses is dead. Yeah, you're going to have courage, boy. Because now this man that led you through all the trials and the heartaches and the triumphs, now he's gone. And it's just you. And that man that used to have a word of wisdom is no longer there. That man that taught you how to serve the Lord as a living example is no longer there. He's no longer there to follow, son. Now you have to do something. And you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to have courage in doing it. Look at it a little older. It says in verse 2, it says, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, into the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now if you let your mind roll back for a second, in number 17, I believe it is, when Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other guys walked over Jordan and went to spy out the land. Joshua was a younger man. I don't know exactly how old he is, but I know toward the end of the book of Joshua, Caleb's 80, and they walked in the land of the wilderness for 40 years. So let's just say Joshua's in his 20s or 30s. I mean, just spitballing, amen? Joshua had to be a leader, a man well enough in age and also in stature to be chosen to be a spy to go over. You know why Joshua, or when Joshua needed to have some courage, is when he got older. Bear with me. When you were 20, nobody told you you had to have courage. They probably had to dare you to do something, amen, but you just went on with it. Head full of steam, just went on right through it because there was no fear of consequences normally at a young age. In retrospect, think about it. When a person gets older, you know what now they have? Now they have a fear of consequence. I'll give you an example. Write this one down for you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 5, it talks about how the elderly, I'm paraphrasing, how the elderly have a fear of heights. That's Bible, and that's truth. You don't see an 80-year-old man normally climbing a ladder over 3 steps. You don't see him doing what a 27-year-old used to do, climbing a 40-foot extension ladder to go hang something. You say, why? Well, he's not very stable and sure, and if he falls, bless the Lord, he's not going to heal like he used to. Amen. I'm more careful, and I don't even consider myself old. I'm just a young spry, amen? Ain't it, Brother Gene? I'm just a little young punk. But I'm more careful now than I was when I was 23. When I was 22, I was stupid still, so I was more careful. Now I don't move like I used to. I don't heal like I used to. If not, I'm not even an older person yet. And I have a way of looking at things that is different now. Joshua now has the roles and the responsibilities placed upon him. Now he's older, and now he has to look at things different. Now he's not a 20 or 30-year-old can run into battle with no fear, no consequence. Now he has to look at things different because he's older. He has to look at it different. The way he looks at things and his mind works is different. You don't just see haphazardly just running into battle. Now it's got to be calculated. And the responsibility is given to him now of overseeing all these men. I'll go ahead and tell you when it's easy. When your name's not on the line. When your name's not on the dotted line, it's easy to do whatever. If you don't own the business, it's easy to just come into work 5-10 minutes late. It's easy to leave 5 minutes late. Amen? But when it's your name at the bank on the line, you'll be there early and you'll stay late. Amen. When it's not your line, when you don't have the roles and responsibilities, when you weren't married, you acted differently. When you didn't have kids, you acted differently. When the roles and the responsibilities grow and compound as you grow in age, the way you act changes. I probably wouldn't run across an I-beam a couple hundred feet up in the air now like I did when I was younger. You say, are you scared? Well, not necessarily of falling, but that little boy back there and that lady sitting right there, of leaving them alone. Amen? Here in this book, in this Bible, in this account, Joshua has the realization that now his name is on the line. He is over everybody. And now fear does set in. Fear sets in because what if I make a mistake? Does he make mistakes eventually? Sure he does. Everybody makes a mistake. Bless the Lord, he didn't make but one that I could see. And he learned from it. But fear has a tendency, when the responsibility in the age comes on you, fear has a tendency to rock you back. And then you don't want to make a decision because you don't really want to do it wrong. Let me rephrase that. You'll make the decision, but it'll be very calculated. It'll be very concise, very precise, and you'll try to measure it out. And sometimes you even go to the extra length where faith is no longer involved because you try to reason it away. Because you need to see an outcome of how it's going to work out right before you put your neck on the line. Amen. You say, what is that? Well, that's not much faith. That's just faith in you. That's faith that you can work it out. That's not faith in the Lord work it out. That's the role and responsibility of fear. That's how fear plays on a man's heart or a woman's heart and plays on their emotions and their mind of things. Used to, you would act with no issues. Now you're real reserved in your actions. Real reserved in witnessing. Real reserved in doing all kinds of things. Why? Fear. Honest to God, it's fear. Honest to God, people won't speak up in church and say an amen or raise their hand out of fear. Amen. Just being honest. Just being honest out of fear. It's not often you see people on street corners anymore preaching, holding up signs. You say, why? It's out of fear. It's not out of time. You got time to do whatever you want to. But it's somebody seeing you doing it. And it's that fear of what they'd think. I got it. Trust me, I know. I've been there. You know what's the hardest thing for me to do? It's easy for me to hold a sign on a street corner. You know what's hard? It's to open my mouth and lift up my voice like a trumpet for somebody else to hear me and see me. Because if I'm just holding a sign, people might not see me. Amen. But if I make a racket, people are going to look. Amen. Something amazing, though, when you eventually just open up that mouth and let it flow, the fear just seems to leave. You overcome the flesh. It's able to do it. Able to do it. You say, what is that? Well, when Joshua's mentor, the one he ministered, had passed away, then Joshua's age, and his roles and responsibilities grow, Joshua needed courage. There's some younger people in here today. I can remember being young. It seemed like an eternity ago. I'm sure it'll get worse. I can remember doing all kind of stupid things. Not crazy things, but just slam stupid, amen? He's doing all kind of stuff. I made a comment to my wife yesterday. I said, you know why I like my motorcycle? She said, why? I said, because I like to go fast. Amen. I got rid of a boat because I like to go fast. I was like, well, I'm gonna wind up dying. I'm killing myself. So now I hadn't rode my motorcycle in forever. You say, you're afraid of it? Not particularly. I'm afraid I'll go too fast one day. Just because I like going fast, because I'm a fella, I guess. I don't know. Hadn't rode it, just trying to be careful. Not necessarily a fear set in, but just a calculated position. Because I can't ride like I used to. Physically, you know, go out and just act fool. Amen? Somebody's now dependent upon me. Joshua had a whole bunch of people. I got 2 1/4 dependent upon me. Joshua had hundreds of thousands. As your responsibility grows, you have to be careful that you won't allow fear to creep in to just stifle you, and you won't make any decision. As age grows, if the Lord tarries, you'll get older. Amen. If His grace and He holds it all together by His words, and you grow older and you grow older and you grow older, fear and more fear will creep in. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's see. About 1.5 months ago, I was at the nursing home preaching on fear. And a bunch of people came up later and told me they had all kinds of issues with fear. That they never used to be fearful, but now they fear all kinds of things. You say, well, they just must not be right with God. No, they're about 30 years older than they used to be. They're probably more right with God than I am. But it's that age thing has a way to just change your mind and how you view things. Let's move on. Look in verse 5. In verse 5, we saw how Joshua, when Joshua needed some courage. Now we're going to look at how to be courageous. Look in verse 5. Verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses, comma, so I will be with thee. You know how Joshua can be courageous with the understanding. He was able to see Moses. Think back, roll your mind back for a little bit for the accounts that Moses went through that Joshua was able to see. Joshua literally walked across the dry ground of the Red Sea when God Almighty parted it. That'd be something amazing to think of God. You were with Moses then. All right, 3 days into the journey, we walk up to those waters right there, and the people are talking about turning back, and they're complaining because the waters are bitter. And all of a sudden, God, I remember Moses spoke up to you, and you made all that water turn to just sweet, cool water. And then for 40 years after people's rebellion, Lord, I saw you feed them. I saw you feed them. I saw you feed them. I saw you strengthen Moses. I saw you give him strength. I saw that he talked to you like a friend. I saw those things. I was able to witness them to him. I was able to talk to him about him, have conversations. Lord, I see that. I remember that. It's a different thing of seeing it, remembering it, and then living it because now you're in that role. I enjoy talking to some older people that have seen the Lord really move in their life. I'm talking about they can roll the account back to the 60s and 70s and when God was stirring, God was moving even before then. I enjoy reading books about people that were doing something for the Lord in the early 1800s, early 1900s, and revival was breaking out all over the world and things happening. I love reading those accounts. You say, why? Because you don't see it now. And you know what encouraged me and keeps me going is this book and looking back. And I'm not looking for some great thing. I just really am looking to please the Lord. And that verse right there says, he's telling Joshua, hey boy, I'll be with you. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. Look at all those people that are following you. Just like with Moses, they may all turn their back on you. But me and you make a majority, buddy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they didn't ever turn on him, but he didn't know that. He didn't have that understanding. You think about that. Every time that somebody withstood Moses to his face and they came against him, the Lord was with Moses. He stood with him. the ground open up and would take people alive down into the pit, would close back up. He saw it. The Lord used it. The Lord was with Moses. And he says, the same man that was with Moses, I'll be with you. And all you've got to do is just trust me. And I'll go ahead and tell you something, friend. That's easier said than done. It's easier to lean upon your own understanding when the timing's not right, when it's not working out right, when you can't see the Lord working in it, when you can't see the outcome. It's easy for you to pick up a phone, make a phone call, get on the computer, go talk to somebody when God's not in it at all. He said, just trust me. You trust me? Oh yeah, I trust you, Lord. Well, just, I'll be with you. That's the most underrated verse in the Bible. And the Lord tells, He tells us, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You ever thought about that? I mean, truly thought about it. You say, yeah, but you know, what about when I went and sinned? I was with you. I was there the whole time. Yeah, but when I went to, I was there. You're saved, you're born again. I told you I'd never leave you. And all you've got to do is just ask for some help, and I'll help you. But unless you ask, I'm just going to be there with you. You're going to drag me through that filth and that muck and that mire, and I'll walk right with you. I'll be there with you. That's hard for me to fathom. What about the things I say about people and behind their backs? I'm there. I'm with you. I'll never fail you. I know what you're like in the dark when you're alone. I'll be there. I'll be there to comfort you. I'll be there to bring things to your remembrance, to encourage you, if you'll just ask me to. Matter of fact, I'll do it when you don't ask sometimes, just to try to encourage you. Yeah, I know, Lord, but that's what Moses did. Lord, I know you, but the Lord just had mercy and compassion and long-suffering for a while. You say, what is that? Well, God's a good God. Think about this, man. He's not some ogre up in heaven with a baseball bat trying to just make you fail. If you've got somebody that's for you, man, it's Him. Get this. He saved you. Free gift. He saved you. He died for the penalty of your sins. Now He saved you. Now He equips you, gives you the strength, gives you the wisdom, gives you the book to get knowledge out of, gives you the understanding. Then He wants you to have rewards. I don't get that. You don't think He's not for you? He said, I'll be with you. I'm with you. I'm with you if you'll just let me to be with you. If you'll allow me to give you these things that you just asked for, I'll do it. But it never is going to be in your timing. There's always a catch to it. Here's your catch. If you want to get real high with the Lord, you got to put yourself down. I must decrease so He might increase. There's always a catch. There's always a catch. You've got to put off the old man to put on the new man. The new man, yeah, the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, that joy, that peace, that meekness, that long-suffering, those fruit of the Spirit we were talking about this morning. You've got to take some things off to put some things on. Joshua had to put his pride down, his position down. How he thought it was going to work out. Think about that, man. He saw 10 guys have an evil report when they come into a land. It didn't work out how he thought it was going to work out. They all died in the wilderness. Him and Caleb and everybody else's kids went to the promised land. Nobody else. Nobody else. Not even Moses went. So the Lord's telling him, man, I'll be with you. Don't lean for these people for your help. You see all these people? You were Moses' minister. Read the account of Joshua. Nobody was Joshua's minister. He said, stay with me, boy. Put your eyes on me and your focus on me. Talk to me. One time Joshua slipped up, let his pride get in the way and thought he was bigger than what he was, and a lot of people died. A lot of people, 30-something. That's a lot to me. A lot of people died, lost their life because he got puffed up after a big victory. Look in the verse, it says, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee. You know the one time that Joshua ever lost a battle? is when he leaned to his own understanding. You know, every time you lose a battle, it's because you're trusting in yourself to get through. Trusting in your own wit. Trusting in your own wisdom. Trusting in your own timing. Trusting in you and fill in the blank. You say, yeah, but it's... You don't know, preacher. You're right, I don't know. I was out there praying this morning. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, what are you doing today? I said, well, you got me preaching. I'm going to go preach. He said, well, go preach. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, you got me a job. I'm going to go work a job. Well, go work a job, boy. Yes, sir. All right. He said, you know what you're doing. Just go do it. Got it. I got it. I was like, you know what? You'll just let the rest of it just work it out, man. And I'll just take one day at a time. You say, yeah, but I like planning and security. Yeah, I know. It's not much faith in that, though, is there? Not much faith in that. That's tough. That's hard. That's not even preaching to hear anywhere else, probably. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Bible. Right there in verse 5 says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. Side note, Lord ever let you down yet? I mean, it might not have worked out how you thought it was going to work out. But why'd you think it was going to work out that way? Because you wanted it to work out that way. We already preached on that the other day. You pray about it and ask the Lord how he wants it to work out. He said, I'll never forsake thee. Man, he'll never turn. He never promised. He said, I promise you I'll never leave you. I'll never just leave you out there to your own self. I'll never leave you alone. Man, praise the Lord. The Lord never leaves you alone. You born again, he'll never stop bothering you. Amen. He'll never stop trying to conform you. He'll never stop trying to just convert you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for conviction. Praise the Lord that God Almighty will put his hand on your heart every once in a while and show you something to get right. Amen. If the Lord ain't showed you something in a while, you ought to check yourself. I ain't talking about salvation. There ought to be a time and place for that. But you ought to check yourself and ask the Lord what the deal is, what the problem is. If you're here preaching and preaching every week, and you're preaching every week and preaching every week, and you're trying to get some Bible, and you're trying to pray, you think you're trying to stay right, ask him to show you. Lord, you hadn't touched my heart in a while to show me anything. I know I'm the problem, so just show me so I can get it right. Just let me get it right. And me and you, I know I'll just be right. I had a preacher ask me a little while back some stuff and asked me how I was doing spiritually, asked him how he was doing spiritually. He said, I couldn't get anything out of the Bible. Preacher. This is a preacher you know, not your pastor, but a preacher. He said, I went for months, I couldn't get anything out of the Bible. I said, okay. He said, I confessed everything I knew to confess, and I forsook things I just started forsaking things and confessing things. I said, would that help? He said, no. He said, eventually I just asked the Lord what the deal was and just asked him, trying to be honest. And I said, what'd he say? He said, nothing. He said, the next day I got this big old sermon he was telling me about. And I said, man, that's so stinking good. Brought tears in my eyes and talking about it. He said, I know. I said, what you think that is? He said, I don't know. Maybe the Lord's just testing me. I mean, he's just proving me. Just seeing what I'd lean upon. Maybe go back through all those sermons I wrote all those years ago that worked. Or just keep digging. Just keep looking. Just keep trying. Just keep trying. Just striving to please him. I said, how you doing now? He said, every day's a new day, man. It's always something new. Dr. Ruckman. I don't know how many times he read the Bible, but I remember hearing him say, on his 140th time through, I ain't even close to that, amen, he was still getting new stuff out of it. I ain't talking about new doctrinal stuff, but he was getting stuff for him out of it. Just because you've read it through a few times, don't just throw it to the wayside and think you got it down. Praise the Lord, you got the generality of it and the doctrines, but it's always fresh if the Lord wants it to be. He said, I will never forsake you. That's what he's telling Joshua, I'll never forsake thee. And look in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Well, why, Lord? Why should I be strong? I mean, well, because I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail thee, and I'll never forsake thee. Therefore, son, That's how you're strong in the Lord. You ought to recall some things, what the Lord's brought you through. That's called an Ebenezer stone, according to the Bible. One of my favorite songs is Come Thy Fount. One of my favorite songs. And in that, it talks about having an Ebenezer stone. An Ebenezer stone is a place, a time in life, that you set up a memorial in your mind, in your heart, that if God Almighty hadn't put His hand on it, hadn't breathed on it, you'd have never made it through. There ought to be some times in your life like that, that God Almighty did something that no man, no woman could do to help you. I mean, people try, amen? They tried to be there, tried to comfort you, tried to give you wisdom, but if the Lord hadn't have showed up, you'd been sunk. You say, what is that for? Well, it's just a remembrance that He's always there with you. And when you decide to finally ask Him for something, some help, some hope, some encouragement, some guidance, to see His perfect will in your life, just to do something, just to have that good Father to wrap His arms around you and just remind you that He loves you. Because He will. You ought to have some times like that. And Joshua would look back on all those heartaches and things that he saw, and he could see, not only in his life, but others' life, where the Lord had given them courage because He had never left them. Never left them. Never left them. Look on down in verse 7 and 8. So you've seen how to have courage. And you've seen when to have courage. In verse 7 and 8, you see why you need courage. It says, this book of the law, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. You know why you'll have to have courage? To do the will of the Lord in your life. Everybody in here, everybody in the sound of my voice, has a different perfect will of God in their life. Different job, different home, a different place of going things, a different way of doing it, but it's a perfect will. You know, sometimes that's hard because the God Almighty's perfect will oftentimes gets you out of your comfort zone. I mean, you're only going to do so much when you're comfortable, amen? And praise the Lord for padded pews and good carpet, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. What if it's out there underneath an oak tree meeting? I've been there. Been there, done that. Other countries, obviously, never done that here. We met. There's 750 of us out underneath a couple oak trees preaching. I loved it, man. It was great. It was great. To say that you love the Lord and you view things different in that environment is probably an understatement. Great understatement. When you come back here and you have all the luxuries that the Lord's afforded us to have, it's easy to just get complacent because you're comfortable. I mean, the comfort in your routine. Amen. And the Lord says, well, I want you to do X. Whatever X is, man. Fill in the blank. I want you to do X. Well, I've never done that before. That's kind of the point, man. Oh, that's why we want you to go do it, because then it relies solely on the strength that I'll give you. You know why the Lord uses base things in life? You know, base things are things that don't deserve to have the position or the prosperity that they have. You know why He uses the base things? You know why He uses people like Moses that couldn't speak well and was slow of speech? So that he'd get the preeminence. You know why He'd use a murderer over in the New Testament? So that he'd get the preeminence. You know why He uses people that people think lowly of? And you know why He would use a bunch of commercial fishermen that they're thinking they had a foul mouth and that people wouldn't think lowly of, and like a tax collector? Amen. They would think nothing of them. And He'd get the preeminence. He'd get the praise. That's why I'm standing here. So He can get it, not me. Amen. You'd have to have courage to do the will of the Lord. To be in His perfect will, it'll take courage that you naturally don't have. Look on verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. You know what you'll have to have courage in doing? Is serving the Lord right where He wants you to be and not altering the course because it doesn't seem right or it seems hard. He says, don't turn from it, man. Come down this road. Don't wind up in a ditch on this side or a ditch this side. Just stay right where I want you to. Don't turn from it. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? When that Roman soldier took and smote him in the cheek, he didn't turn from it. He took it right on the cheek. You know when that Roman soldier reached up there to get that handful of beard, he didn't pull away from it. He didn't turn from it. He wrapped his hand in that beard and pulled it out. He didn't turn from it. He just took that reproach. He just took it. He just took it. You say, what is that? Well, that's being a real man. That's being courageous. Because in a fleshly sense, you would turn from it. You'd shy away from it. You'd shy away from that pain. Amen. You know, we were talking about that cedar tree and that amazing smell it has when it's broken. When the Lord does something to you to break you, to get that smell, that aroma out, you'll turn from it because it hurts. I had a guy digging in the end of my finger when I cut the end of my finger off. He did it one time. I said, please don't do that. That hurt real bad. Don't do that. And he's like, well, it's for your betterment. Yeah, I don't really care. Don't do that. Hurt bad. I said, I like you. You seem real niceable and real peaceable, but I'm going to hit you if you do that again. And I'm going to pull my hand away from it because it hurt real bad. He looked at me and said, okay. And dug back in it. And pain was so great, I didn't have a chance to swing. Amen. You say, what is that? I tried to shy away from it because it hurt. The Lord has a tendency to put you through spiritual things that'll hurt. Don't shy away from it. That's hard because that's not natural. Again, you won't hear this anywhere else, but this is what the Lord has for you this morning. Has for you. Don't shy away from it. Look in verse 8. It says, you'll need courage that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know why you'll need courage? Why you'll need courage? Because people don't really want to hear the Bible. They want to hear somebody's opinion. They don't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. You ever been telling somebody Bible, and man or woman, job site or friend, and somebody will say, don't preach it me. Well, you're not behind some pulpit preaching at them, amen? You're just giving them biblical truth, and you're sticking that sword in, and it hurts. And they're like, stop doing that. And sometimes you'll just stop because you love them. Let me phrase that. You claim you love them. But if you really loved them, you'd keep sticking them with compassion, not just trying to cut them up. Because the Bible says right there in verse 8 that Joshua was going to need courage that the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I mean, we're in church, amen? If I were to ask, I'm not. If I were to ask somebody to get up and give a testimony or quote some Bible, you should have enough wherewithal to be able to do it because everybody in here is for you. At least they're going to act like it in this building, amen? They're for you. They support you. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you grow in grace. They want to see the grace of God be sufficient and be prevalent and the power of God rest on your life. They want to see it. Sometimes we don't even have the courage to do that in church. Give a praise the Lord or thank you, Lord. Just appreciate you being good to me. You know what? Appreciate when He saved me in 98. Something simple, but it takes courage to do that. That, odds are, takes you out of your comfort zone to do that. Here's an odd thing, though. I don't know most of you. But outside of these doors, you might talk a lot. And you might be very vocal about all kinds of things, but not vocal about the Lord. That's difficult, then, to put yourself in a place of having reproach. So therefore, you would need courage. Because a certain reproach will fall on you if you take a stand for the Lord. Amen. It took on Paul. Paul had to take it. Peter took it. James, John, the apostles took it. They had to bear that reproach before they took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll take a stand for them, you'll have to bear some stuff, and you'll have to have some courage in bearing it. Look right there in verse 8. It's telling Joshua to have courage. Have courage. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You got to meditate on it, man. It doesn't really take courage to meditate on it day and night, but it will take courage to speak it. And then it keeps going. Do according to all that is written therein. For then, here you go. This is the result, if you will, of having courage. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Now, side note, we went over it in Sunday school. Deuteronomy 30 shows that the Old Testament Jew, they're the ones that this is written to as far as having monetary gain and materialistic things. And just, if you do right according to the Bible in the Old Testament, if a Jew did right and was righteous and did according to the law, then God Almighty would, man, he would just start giving them things, giving them possessions, monetary gains. They'd have asses and camels and colts and livestock, and they would just have money and monetary things. They would just have it. That's not the normal New Testament situation, though. Again, praise the Lord if you've got money. Amen. Praise the Lord if you got a good job, the Lord gave it to you. Praise the Lord if you got a nice house, a nice vehicle, a nice car. Praise the Lord, man, because he's just good. However, you can prosper spiritually. I know we went over it in Sunday school. The Lord worked it out, though. You can prosper by having wisdom out of James chapter 3. You can prosper by having joy, according to Nehemiah 8:11. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That courage will produce something in you. It'll produce a resolve, a resoundness to stand when everybody else is just falling away. We sing that song. It's a simple song to my son. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. You catch the next part of it? I stand alone on the Word of God. He's singing it now. They heard me. You think about that, though. I thought I was singing it wrong. We had to look up the lyrics. I was like, I stand alone. Tell my 2-year-old that as he grows, he ought to be just used to being alone by standing. If he's going to do it the Bible way, it's just going to be him and the Lord. We have a skewed view in America of how the Bible way is. Amen. But we can prosper in spiritual things, joy and long-suffering. Peace, which really does pass all understanding. How can you put a price tag on that? You can't buy peace. You can't buy the love of God being on you and His joy being on you. You can never buy that. You never buy that. You say, how do I get that? By being courageous. Because you'll need courage. Everybody in here, regardless of age or position, you'll need it. You'll need courage. Not in self, not in your own might. I could probably ask some of the older gentlemen in here to recall some things when they were in their 20s. Their strength that they had. The ability to run and do things. And as you get older, it just seems to fade away some. Not because you want it to. But it just does. So you won't have courage in self. You have to have courage in the Lord's going to take care of it. And He won't leave you there. He won't forsake you. He won't turn His back on you and just walk away and leave you there. He'll be with you. You say, well, why do I need courage? Well, you'll need courage if you want to do the will of the Lord in your life. Because the odd thing is, they're going to look at you weird and say things weird to you, like, why are you doing that? It didn't even seem right that you would be doing that. Man, you could do X, Y, Z, and it'd be okay. The devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, and all three things he said were right, but they were at the wrong time. At the wrong time. Be careful. Be careful that you just don't lean to your own understanding and you're just having courage in self or courage in a friend telling you to do something. Why don't you pray about it? Fast about it. I mean, really get a hold of God. Amen. Let's stand. If somebody will come play the piano and